Freedom and democracy. These two ideas are what the United States of America prides itself on. The Founding Fathers wanted a place where everyone could have a say in government, and they wanted to get everyone the right to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. But yet, it's been about a century since women were force-fed through tubes because they went on a hunger strike because they just wanted the right to vote, and the United States is still classified as 76th in the world for women in parliament, according to the Women in National Parliaments website. America is lagging in women in politics, with only 23% of Senate seats and 19.4% of House seats being represented by women in 2019. I am here today to answer the question, are women just not interested in government positions, or is the lack of women attributed to something more than just an ambitions gap? This is The Guilty Feminist, and I, Emily Houston, am your host for this podcast. Politics has always been something that has fascinated me, but I myself have never been interested in entering the political sphere when I'm older. And when I thought about why, I really could only think of failure. I had the fear to fail. And so I decided to do some more research on this fear to fail in the political arena, and it turns out that I'm actually not the only female with this problem. Susan Levine, the Stella M. Rowley professor in psychology at UChicago, found in her study that parents of boys use a greater percentage of process praise than parents of girls. And so later on, these boys were more likely to have positive attitudes about academic challenges than girls, and boys are more likely to believe that their intelligence can be improved. And so these actions then give these boys a growth mindset and girls a fixed mindset. Now, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, like how I did not know this before I read an article on it, a fixed mindset is the belief that the baseline intelligence that someone has cannot be improved. So people with this mindset typically choose a safer path because they're more afraid of failure. Now, of course, not all females are going to have this fixed mindset. There are amazing women out there doing amazing things and breaking that glass ceiling. The first woman that comes into my mind is people like Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey and even Hillary Clinton. But it is proven that more men than women do have this fixed mindset. And so this pushes women away typically from these fiery political battles. And they are afraid of the failure that could follow. So then we'll get on to the growth mindset. It's basically gives boys the desire to try new challenges and to not be afraid of failure. And these mindsets are installed into children at a young age, and it typically follows them into adulthood. If parents start praising and encouraging both girls and boys, then it's likely that we would start seeing more women on the ballot on election day. Now, to understand what it's really like in the political sphere and to be surrounded by this, I decided to interview Ben Webb. Mr. Webb ran for the Illinois House of Representatives and the 105th District in the 2018 election. And he told me stories of a friend who ran in a different election than his, and he grew close with her. But he did notice some differences in some of the experience that she had versus him. So I'll let him tell it.
I never had to have my gender be a qualification for whether I should be in office or not. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we often discuss going door to door, whether I was campaigning for her or campaigning for myself, mm-hmm. One of the aspects was, you know, people would respond back about her electability. And gender for me, it wasn't, oh, because he is a male, he is less or more electable.
Right.
But that instead, that was an obstacle that she still had to face. And mm-hmm. we look at a recent election that has a gigantic jump in terms of female first-time mm-hmm, congressmen, yeah. first-time representatives and senators. We're seeing a we're seeing such a great increase, but we're still not even at 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our population is 50%, and in universities it's even higher than that.
Right.
And so I think it's an interesting piece to consider, because the caucuses for female representation have grown. But when you're trying to get onto the ballot, when you're running for that office, in my case, it wasn't about my gender.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about race. And yet for other people, oftentimes, when you're going and trying to do that persuasion audience and saying reasons why I should be elected, I wasn't needed to specify why race was a factor, or why gender was a factor, or sexual orientation was a factor. And yet I know other people, a number of which were first time elected LGBTQ representatives, open representatives on that, where it became a campaign issue.
Yeah.
And so in terms of equal representation, we're not there yet. And unfortunately, sometimes you knock on the door and there are individuals who say, I'm not going to vote for this person because of their race, because of their gender. And it's very unfortunate that we still have to have that conversation.
With what Mr. Webb said, I decided to do some more research. I found that in a recent study done by Alice K.J. Musa, Bala Duda, and Muhammad A. Umar, that women and men are equal academically, but yet still more men are found in politics, even though both genders are equally capable. So why aren't women running? To help me answer this question, I decided to ask Kate Pohl, a government and U.S. studies teacher at University High School, about her experiences as a female who's extremely involved in politics. All right. As a teacher who's very involved in politics, have you ever felt like you haven't been taken seriously because of your gender?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk about that in terms of politics or my job or just my life on the whole?
I mean, you can talk about it. I would love to hear any story you have or anything like about a teaching experience,
sure.
An experience outside of that.
Well, where do I start? There have been quite a few, unfortunately. So here's one. When I left my job in North Dakota to go to graduate school,
mm-hmm.
Have I told you this before?
No.
So it's kind of personal, but I think it's worth telling. And I'm a single person with no kids, which
right.
I'm perfectly okay with.
Yeah, yeah.
Society isn't always okay with that, however, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of my best friends in the world, I love these people that I worked with in North Dakota. But I remember when I left them and I went to graduate school of my own accord, I was very excited to go just study history,
yeah.
Moved three states away. And I remember I went home at our winter break to visit. And I just was so excited to tell all these old friends about the classes that I was taking and everything that I was learning. And the first question I got asked by a very close friend was, well, have you met him yet? And I knew what she was implying. Actually, she and her husband both were implying. And I tried to pretend I didn't. And I said, well, I'm not quite sure what you mean, but let me tell you about this philosophy of history class I'm taking.
Yeah.
At which point, he reached over and grabbed my hand and said, it's okay, it'll happen. And that was the end of the conversation. I was not allowed to elaborate on my classes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just clear that whatever I was accomplishing in grad school, I was failing because I hadn't found a husband. And they assumed that had to be the reason that I was going. Then when I got to grad school, just to give you another example, so where I was surrounded by people who were studying the same material that I was,
mm-hmm.
One of my closest friends there, who I always thought is very, very forward-thinking, we both turned in a rough draft of our final research paper in a class, and we got the paper back. Again, this is a rough draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the final piece, the final product. And he immediately turned to me and said, well, what'd you get? And I could tell he was a little grumpy. I said, I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
I don't want to share my grades with you. Because that has come up in the past, too. Oh, that just reminded me of another story. I'll tell you that one, too. So anyway, as we chatted about it, I said, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to tell you what I got on this rough draft. I have work to do. I have something to fix. So grad school, it's a 3-hour class, 3.5 hours. You only meet once a week.
Okay.
So 3.5 to 4 hours. And I got up to go to the bathroom maybe an hour and a half later. And I came back, and his mood had just changed dramatically. So after class, as was our tradition, we would all go out for a drink and talk about what class was like and, okay, what's our next project and our next book?
Uh-huh.
He had pulled my paper off my desk and noticed that I got an A and he got an A minus.
Okay.
And that sparked, he was so angry. It was, I won't go into all the details mm-hmm. that followed, but the comments that he made the rest of the night, oh, well, Paul, tell me what you do to earn your A's. Why is your paper so much, right? There were a lot of implications in what he was saying to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't, the rest isn't terribly appropriate for a high school setting, right. So I won't tell you what happened next. But he was genuinely angry at me for a rough draft where I got an A and an A, and he got an A minus. And this one, which is also probably personal, but it's worth sharing. I was talking to another friend.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a really good friend. We were not talking about dating. We were not talking about marriage. And at one point, as it came up in conversation from somebody else sitting at the table, he turned to me and said, well, you know, that's kind of why you're single. I said, what? Why? When did we start talking about me and being single? I said, what? And he said, well, you know, if you could just dumb it down a little bit. And he didn't laugh. And I did. I tried to pretend. I wanted to let him off the hook. So I said, okay, whatever. And I rolled my eyes and kind of giggled. And he didn't smile and he didn't laugh. So I turned and I said, you're joking, right? You did not say to me what I think you just said. Well, I'm just telling you, if you come across as smarter than a guy, it's not going to go well for you. Right? So just to give you a couple lovely instances, most of the men in my life are wonderful human beings who mm-hmm. are wonderful allies and very supportive. But to your question, absolutely, it comes up all the time, more often than you would think.
Yeah.
It's something that you face. And then if you think of being a woman, women, especially at your age, right mm-hmm. around, well, you're a little bit older, but right around ninth grade,
mm-hmm.
we see young women. There's lots of research on this too. Who are bright and confident and really good in school, they go through quite a transition around ninth grade where suddenly they shut down in the classroom. And I see this regularly, that I have these really bright young women
mm-hmm.
and their confidence is kind of shattered because being smart, being engaged, having something to say is frowned upon socially yeah. by their peers.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so those are some experiences that have happened to me. And
what Ms. Pohl said about girls in the classroom really resonated with me. She obviously is a very driven woman, but to hear that there are other girls out there who aren't like her, who lose so much of their confidence in the classroom during freshman year in middle school, is heartbreaking to me. In my research, I found that Y Pulse did a study with The Atlantic. They did a survey of more than 1,300 girls from the ages 8 to 18 and their parents. The girls surveyed were asked to rate their confidence on a scale of 0 to 10. And from the ages of 8 to 14, the years of middle school and high school, beginning of high school, the average of girls' responses fell from approximately 8.5 to 6, a drop of 30%. Women aren't running for office because they don't want to be involved in politics. It's because they lose confidence. This isn't an ambitions gap, and it also isn't society just not electing women. The New York Times found that when women run, they are just as likely as men to get elected. It's just that women don't run because they don't have the confidence. With all the research done on this, it should be expected that people should do something about it. But still, the efforts to get more women into politics are limited. Women have come so far in the political world, but we still have so much further to go. We must continue to encourage our girls to be the best they can be and to make sure they aren't afraid of failure. If we do this for future generations, then maybe, just maybe, one day we'll see more women on the ballot and have a 50-50 split of men and women in Congress. Thank you.